This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we've got lots of time to talk health, and we invite your phone calls. We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 888-302-3684. 888-302-3684 gets you into the doctor's office, and we'd love to get your calls because you are an essential part of this program. But we got lots to talk about this week. Actually, I've got some pent-up information because, well, last week we did a best-of program because I was at the American College for Advancement in Medicine in Las Vegas, Nevada, and great conference as usual. I presented on intravenous vitamins, and I also talked about some of the basic steps that you need to take to become an integrative practitioner. There are lots of young doctors there learning about integrative medicine, and also some of the veteran practitioners like myself. There's always something at ACAM for doctors and health practitioners to learn about. So if you're a health practitioner and you're listening to this program, consider ACAM as your home base for learning about integrative medicine. It's acam.org, acam.org. And even they have webinars and distance learning programs, so you can learn about things like chelation therapy. And a little later in the program, we'll talk about chelation therapy because there's some very, very interesting developments on the chelation front. You know, last year, well, it was a couple of years ago, 2013, it came out that chelation therapy was actually something that works. For years, we'd been kind of laboring in the weeds because, well, the powers that be told us that chelation was tantamount to quackery. It was some kind of made-up treatment that really didn't work. But it turns out that according to a very, very rigorous study, chelation made the grade, and it's comparable in its effect to some of the most potent weapons that we have in our arsenal, pharmacological drugs against cardiovascular disease. We'll talk a little later about that during the second hour of this program. 888-302-3684 is our number. And, you know, I'm going to start this start the program with there's a couple of interesting medical stories in the news. We'll talk a little later about Charlie Sheen, who came out this week telling the world that he is HIV positive. And we'll talk a little bit about that because there's some fascinating medical implications to the story. But first, this. File this one under Modern Family. I came across this story a couple of weeks ago. Headline, transgender man's belly bulge turns out to be surprise pregnancy. Okay, what's up with that? Well, yeah, things start to get complicated when we get into the modern technology of transgender transformation. A gentleman named Caden Coleman, who was originally, I'm going to have his previous name before he crossed genders, has been living as a man for a decade. And he had been taking testosterone to transition into a man for 5 years. But something started to, it just didn't seem right. He is married to his husband, Elijah, age 27. Caden is 29. Caden is the transgender individual. Caden initially didn't think much about the extra weight that he was putting on his midsection. He just attributed it to a lack of exercise. But then his husband began joking that perhaps Caden was pregnant. Well, a home pregnancy test and then a test at the OBGYN confirmed their suspicion. He was 21 weeks pregnant. Whoa, what's up with that? Well, it's an interesting story because Caden was on testosterone therapy, and high-dose testosterone therapy and the stuff, whatever the stuff you do to manipulate your hormones to turn you into a male, usually is incompatible with pregnancy. But Caden, the pregnant individual, had to stop, or temporarily, taking the hormones to prepare for, check this out, a double mastectomy. What's up with that? Well, they don't say. But even more intriguing is the possibility that Caden, who is transgender, having been successfully transformed into a male, identifying as a male, still had to undergo a double mastectomy. Maybe, just maybe, all that hormonal therapy had an impact on Caden's risk for breast cancer. Well, anyway, he had to stop taking the hormones because it's not a great idea to take testosterone if there's a risk of breast cancer. And lo and behold, Caden got pregnant. He was he was more than just a little pregnant. He was 21 weeks pregnant. And, well, this story has a happy ending. Now the couple is celebrating their new parenthood with 22-month-old Azalea, who was born by C-section when Caden was induced when he was 9 months pregnant. 22-month-old Azalea is not quite ready to hear the story of how she was conceived, but the new parents plan to tell their daughter about her surprise birth circumstances when she's older. Caden is happy, and there's a picture of the happy couple, both bearded individuals, both looking thoroughly masculine and male, smiling, holding up their new daughter, who is a beautiful child. Caden told the Mirror, a paper in England, quote, "I couldn't imagine and don't want to imagine life without Azalea. She is amazing." So, hey, folks, it's getting complicated out there. That is truly an amazing story. All right, let's talk a little bit about the story behind the revelation that Charlie Sheen is HIV positive. This came as a big shock. But in view of his rather dissolute lifestyle and his high number of sexual encounters and possibly risky sexual encounters with known prostitutes and call girls, this sounds like something that might have been inevitable because of lots and lots of unsafe sex. He became HIV positive. And that was only part of the revelation about his HIV status. The other part of his revelation was that he had slept with a lot of gals in Hollywood and had engaged in unprotected sex. And some of them, they say, were cognizant of his HIV status, and others appeared outraged that he engaged in sex with them. But his rejoinder, and he was interviewed on NBC's Today Show, was that the sex was, quote, supervised by a physician. Now, I have never been called upon to enter the connubial bedroom and supervise any act of sex. I'm not sure what exactly is meant by that. But I think what Charlie Sheen is referring to is that the sex was okay, he says, because even though it was unprotected, he wasn't wearing a condom, the women in question were aware of his HIV status and were taking AIDS medication that would protect them from infection. Now, that sounds really crazy. Why would you take a chance? Because even if there's an infinitesimal possibility that the medication wouldn't work, why would you go there? That sounds like Russian roulette. But according to some new articles that I'm looking at, this one's from Science News, this actually in September, for the first time, the World Health Organization expanded the population recommendation for an option for those at high risk of contracting HIV to take a daily dose of an antiviral medication as a preventive. This medication was originally pioneered for people who got accidental needle sticks or maybe had an unsafe sexual encounter. It's kind of like the morning after pill for HIV, but it's been tested. And this is called PrEP, P-R-E-P, or pre-exposure prophylaxis. And at first it was reserved only for those deemed at very high risk, but two new studies have reported very high success rates using a drug called Truvada, which is a combo of two antiviral drugs, tenofovir and emtricitabine, as a daily preventive. And it really seems to work virtually 100% of the time. The manufacturer, Gilead Sciences, I think it's an Israeli company, compared 275 men who received this PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis with Truvada. And what they found was that there was a very, very dramatic reduction in risk. It wasn't 100%, but the key is it's pretty much effective, but you got to take the pill. If you skip a dose, it puts you at risk. So maybe, just maybe, I mean, you know, lawsuits are going to fly. There's all kinds of possibilities here. Hey, he's got deep pockets. Civil litigation is a real prospect here. But in his defense, this stuff was doctor supervised. His sexual partners were told to take or were supposed to take a medication that would prevent infection with HIV. And none of them so far has come up and said, Charlie Sheen has infected me. So interesting medical ramifications of a big Hollywood story. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Got glutathione? Probably not as much as you once had. As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that is a very big deal. Why? Because glutathione is your body's master antioxidant. It is unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals, exposure to environmental toxins, and the aging process. The less glutathione in your body, the more vulnerable you are to health issues. Backed by 20 years of published research, RegActive contains ME3, a patented probiotic proven to naturally stimulate the body's own production of glutathione. RegActive is brought to you by Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics 15 years ago, and meets the criteria of the same high standards and trusted time-proven results. Revolutionary. Remarkable. RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we get a call from Sheila, who is in Queens, New York. Thank you very much for calling, Sheila. We really appreciate it.
Hello, Dr. Hoffman. Excuse me. I wanted to know your opinion about the liquid inland sea magnesium. And if it's okay with you, it's a twofold question. I want to know your protocol for familial essential tremors.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so did you say linseed?
It's inland sea magnesium.
Inland sea magnesium. Like a sea that's inland, like, I don't know, I guess the Great Salt Lake is kind of an inland sea, you know, where there's a lot of minerals. So, yeah, I'm not familiar with that brand. But, you know, look, magnesium participates in more than 300 different biochemical reactions in the body. And it also plays a role in muscle contraction, both in the heart, which is important, and also in skeletal muscle. And it promotes muscle relaxation, thus reducing muscle spasm. And so the question is, you know, can it help what is called benign familial tremor? This is a problem that is genetically programmed, and sometimes it can be confused with Parkinson's disease or pre-Parkinson's. You know, when you have a little bit of the shakes, you know, it's hard sometimes to discern whether this is a harbinger of Parkinson's disease, which is a disease where you have tremors, you know, is it this very common disorder, benign familial tremor? You know, in fact, there were some guys and gals that I went to medical school with who planned to be surgeons, but unfortunately they had benign familial tremor. And there's nothing more disconcerting in the operative field than a surgeon whose hand shakes, so they had to change careers. Some of them became radiologists or psychiatrists, so they didn't have to, you know, use their hands. So can it help? Perhaps, but the problem with benign familial tremor is that it's more of a central nervous system problem. It's not a muscle spasm problem. It's literally some circuit in the brain that may be affected. And, you know, are there some things involved like heavy metal toxicity? Could mercury toxicity cause it? Well, yes, mercury can promote tremor. That's one of the signs of mercury overdose. We'll talk a little bit about it this hour or next. You know, where are people getting all that mercury in their bodies? Is it from fish, or is it what's causing it? Is it vaccines? Is it the fillings in our teeth? Where is it coming from? Actually, there's some surprising sources. So what can we do for it? One of the things that I find that helps is balancing blood sugar. Balancing blood sugar can be very helpful because when you go hypoglycemic, you get a bit of a surge of adrenaline, and that will cause you to shake. And so eating a diet that helps people avoid hypoglycemia, that can be helpful. From a nutritional standpoint, it's not that amenable to nutritional manipulation. All right, we got lots of time to take your phone calls, lots more to talk about. And we'll talk a little bit about mercury when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless organic aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. And we invite you to call us from wherever you are across the country, around the globe, because, we can live stream this program. If you perchance find yourself in a place where you can't listen to the radio, well, you can go to drhoffman.com and under listen, There's a drop-down menu, and you can find the link that you can use to listen to this program whenever you like. And, oh, by the way, if you missed the program, listen via podcast. We post podcasts of our weekend program on Monday mornings. You can listen whenever you like. All right. Talking mercury toxicity, the last caller from Queens, New York, asked about tremor. And some of this, to some extent, is genetic. It's predetermined. One is either more or less likely to suffer from benign tremor based on one's family history. It runs in families. And one sure way to determine if you have benign tremor is to go to the local saloon and throw back a couple. And if your tremor abates, you're more likely to have benign tremor. And this is actually a trick that gunslingers knew about. You know, they didn't just go to the bar to steel up their courage. They actually realized that they would steady their shooting hand, that is, if they were prone to tremor, by throwing back a couple of whiskeys. So what are some of the potential causes? Well, mercury toxicity can be linked to a wide variety of symptoms. Neurological symptoms, emotional symptoms. Among the neurological symptoms are fine tremor. Also, memory loss. In terms of the emotions, one of the peculiar symptoms of mercury toxicity is shyness, but also aggressiveness, anxiety, depression, even at high doses, hallucinations. So there are a wide variety of problems. It's also implicated in birth defects and developmental problems in children. And so mercury toxicity is a big concern. So where's all the mercury coming from? Well, there are laws now against putting mercury in things like paint. Mercury used to be a constituent of paint. We're getting rid of our mercury thermometers. Remember those science classes? If you're old enough, you remember science classes where they gave you a little blob of mercury to play with? Not a great idea for kids to be exposed to liquid mercury. Touch it. I mean, imagine these days if that happened in a classroom, they'd call the health department, and somebody would arrive in a hazmat suit to pick up the mercury. Well, we didn't know in those days. Also, they deliberately put mercury in your mouth in the form of silver mercury amalgams. Those silver fillings, well, a large percentage of that is mercury to make it more malleable to work with and easily moldable into a filling. Also, vaccines contain mercury. Not a great idea. But here's a source of mercury that perhaps you hadn't thought of before. High fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup, we know, is bad for you because it's even worse than sugar. It packs a wallop in terms of calories. But because it is chemically different, it has a bigger impact on triglycerides, raising cardiovascular risk. It has a bigger impact on promoting insulin resistance. It may be even more obesogenic than sugar, calorie for calorie. You know, they say a rose is a rose is a rose. Well, a calorie isn't a calorie isn't a calorie. Calories derived from certain sources are more harmful than others. And so we know that high fructose corn syrup is not great. We try to avoid it. The little amount of fructose or fruit sugar that you get from, say, an orange, not a big deal. But the main source of high fructose corn syrup is in sweetened foods and beverages, such as colas. And even, you know, look at labels. You'll see that ketchup, baked goods, many prepared foods contain some high fructose corn syrup. So where's the connection to mercury? Well, it turns out in order to make high fructose corn syrup, it's a real kind of industrial process whereby they take corn and they distill it in some way. You know, you can make a gasohol out of corn. You can virtually transform corn into anything. But in order to make it into sugar, it requires machinery and a chemical process that involves exposure to a mercury catalyst. And the folks in the industry say no problem. But a recent survey of foods and drinks shows that there are detectable levels of mercury in 17 out of 55 tested products that are rich in high fructose corn syrup. And there's some surprises here. Here's a list of the products that tested positive for mercury. Quaker Oatmeal To-Go Bars, Jack Daniel's Barbecue Sauce, Hershey's Chocolate Syrup, Kraft Original Barbecue Sauce, Nutri-Grain Strawberry Cereal Bars, Manwich Gold Sloppy Joe, Market Pantry Grape Jelly, Smucker's Strawberry Jelly, Pop-Tarts, Hunt's Tomato Ketchup, Wishbone Western Sweet and Smooth Dressing, Coca-Cola Classic, Yoplait Strawberry Yogurt, Minute Maid Berry Punch, Yoo-Hoo Chocolate Drink, Nesquik Chocolate Milk, and Kemp's Fat-Free Chocolate Milk. So the result of a test performed a couple of years ago, I don't know, maybe they've cleaned up their act, but an unexpected source of mercury, an unwanted guest in our food supply, and we want to keep it down to a dull roar. All right, there's a new initiative, and I really support this. It is the Gluten in Medication Disclosure Act. What's that about? Well, you know, a lot of us are gluten sensitive, but some people are exquisitely sensitive. They have celiac disease. And we try to avoid the foods that we know have gluten in them. And, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you got to specify. And when you go to the market, you look for gluten-free foods. Okay. But did you know that if you're taking one or another medication, and many Americans are taking, you know, three, four, five, six different medications on a daily basis, that the medications themselves are Trojan horses for gluten. So a couple of consumer-minded legislators, Representatives Tim Ryan of Ohio and Anita Lowy of New York, have introduced the Gluten in Medication Disclosure Act. And that's a good idea because it's hard to tell sometimes whether a medication you're taking has gluten in it. And sometimes the pharmaceutical companies play a switcheroo on you because the original medication that you were started on may be gluten-free, but nowadays they're switching you to generics as a cost-saving measure. And generics are cheaper. Sometimes they're prepared differently. And yes, they contain the same amount of medication, but what's different is the vehicle for the medication, and the vehicle may be starch that's derived from wheat that has a significant amount of gluten. Millions of Americans avoiding gluten is a medical necessity, and that's the rationale behind the bill. So let's get this bill passed. Hey, you know, with all that's happening, the gridlock in Washington, I think it's got a snowball's chance in hell of being passed, but it's a worthwhile initiative. And, oh, by the way, another initiative that's underway is an effort to substitute gluten-free hosts for communion in churches. And this is quite a controversial thing because religious doctrine apparently dictates that there's got to be some wheat in the host. Don't know why, but you know, this is also something in the Jewish religion where you say the blessing over the bread and you take a piece of bread. Well, you can have gluten-free bread, but you know, there's all this kind of religious doctrine in there about should it have a little, just a tiny little bit of gluten in it. According to an article I'm reading here, the Catholic Diocese of Columbus, Ohio, stated that some gluten-free hosts that were offered as an alternative in that community didn't meet Vatican standards because they didn't contain wheat and that they could not be offered as gluten-free hosts anymore. So by some, I'm not criticizing the church, but, you know, this is kind of a religious doctrine. So the ingenious, I guess it is the sisters of the Congregation of Benedictine Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in Clyde, Missouri, have what's called an altar breads department where they have come up with low-gluten hosts. They're not no-gluten hosts, but here's the deal. The hosts have been tested for the presence of gluten, and according to the sisters, they were tested to a level of 0.01% gluten. At that level, the lowest that could be tested, no gluten was detected. So there's less than 0.01% gluten in those hosts. And what's the science behind this? Can a person with celiac disease receive some infinitesimal amount of gluten? Will it trigger their disease? And some studies suggest that the maximum amount of gluten a celiac should ingest in a day is 10 milligrams. 10 milligrams. Look at a vitamin supplement you're taking. A vitamin pill might be 100 or 200 milligrams or even 500 milligrams. Fish oil capsules are 1,000 milligrams. So 10 milligrams, kind of small amount, but it's the amount, you know, you might see on the tip of your fingernail. But no one really knows how much gluten is safe. So should we have zero tolerance for gluten? Well, we do the best we can, because inexplicably some patients who have celiac disease continue to suffer from symptoms. And is it because in a stealth way some gluten is finding its way into their diet? Or is it because after having celiac disease they still have a torn up gastrointestinal tract that takes a long time to heal? That is one of the controversies in celiac disease. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. If you call us, we'll answer your questions. This is the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works.
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. You can call this hour or next to get through to Intelligent Medicine. You'll be right in the doctor's office with me, and I'll field your questions. I'm just looking at the page where, you know, I dug up this gluten story, and you know how whenever you look up a story, there's always a sidebar pitching, you know, something of relevance that you ought to buy. Right? You know, an advertisement. And there's an advertisement there for gluten-free beer. And they came up with a cool name for the beer. It's called Glutenberg. Glutenberg, you know, like with a sort of German lettering. I thought that was kind of clever. All right. Nearsightedness. Nearsightedness is something that I suffered from early. I was one of the first kids in my class to require glasses. And to make matters worse, I also required braces. So a pretty geeky-looking kid. And there definitely is a tendency for studious kids, to require glasses. Do you know any, like, NFL quarterbacks who walk around wearing thick Coke bottle glasses? Mostly not, because they went out, they played, they were active, and they weren't bookworms like me. But this is becoming a big problem worldwide. And in fact, statistics show that a higher and higher percentage of kids are becoming nearsighted. And this is particularly a problem in Asia, where I guess kids are, you know, education is more prized for young children. And studies actually show that one of the ways that you can reduce the risk of nearsightedness for your kid is to give your kid the opportunity to run around outside and focus their eyes on distance. It's really essential for the normal development of the eye to have distance focusing to at least some extent, rather than constantly straining your eyes to read small print, which is unfortunately the trend these days. More and more kids and using mobile devices and so on, there's a higher risk of nearsightedness. So it's not surprising that in Singapore, they undertook a trial to use eye drops to slow down nearsightedness. Now, we have eye drops for glaucoma. They're actually working on eye drops for cataracts to help to dissolve cataracts, as it were, and render the lens transparent again. But this is really cool. This is one of the oldest medications around. It's called atropine. Originally, it was an extract of an herbal medicine, belladonna. So very, very old. In fact, what it does, belladonna in Latin languages, in Italian, Spanish, means beautiful woman. Well, what is that? What does that have to do with this medication? Well, this was actually used by women in the Middle Ages and Renaissance times so that they're more beautiful. Why were they more beautiful? Well, when they used these eye drops of belladonna, their pupils dilated. So they had big sort of, you know, very, very sexy looking eyes because of the belladonna. Well, okay, so atropine eye drops were used in a 5-year clinical trial on Singaporean children, and they slowed down nearsightedness by roughly 50%. So this is pretty cool. Atropine inhibits the axial growth of the eye. Okay, axial growth, that means the lengthening of the eye. Individuals who have nearsightedness, like me, we have long eyeballs. And so if you inhibit the axial growth of the eye, it grows more normally and it's more a perfect sphere, it is less likely that you will become nearsighted. So this isn't yet ready for prime time. The research is underway and they're concerned, you know, could there be other side effects of taking atropine on a daily basis? But it seems pretty safe. And additional studies on atropine for myopia progression are about to be conducted in Europe and Japan and may help find answers to the problem of nearsightedness. Meanwhile, you get your kids outside, get them playing outside. It's good for them, and it's good for their eyes as well. All right, let's talk to Joan in Ithaca, New York. Thank you very much for calling, Joan.
Thank you so much for taking the call.
Sure.
I have a question about EMDR.
Okay.
I was a nurse in Vietnam, and I saw an awful lot of gruesome stuff.
Yes.
And I kind of like to get rid of all those memories.
So for post-traumatic stress syndrome, in other words.
Correct.
And okay, so can you tell us what EMDR is? I mean, I know what it is, but do you want to describe it to our listeners?
It's rapid eye movement desensitization.
Right.
Desensitization.
And what it is, it involves like these kind of little hand gestures, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So you're kind of like flipping your fingers around. I've seen it done. And so what this does, EMDR is a controversial therapy because there's some studies on EMDR, but the studies are, you know, they're not completely rigorous and meeting, you know, the criterion of perfect science. But there are studies that suggest that you can erase bad memories with EMDR, and it's almost a form of it's related in some ways to hypnosis. What you do is you sort of program the brain, and then through this literally sleight of hand, through these rapid movements, you kind of flip the switch on the neural circuits that keep bringing back bad memories. And so this is something that you practice, as you say you're a nurse, you're a health professional?
Yeah, I was a nurse in Vietnam.
Oh, okay. Well, you're in Vietnam. Okay, so I think I saw you in MASH. No, that was another war. Okay. this is something that I think might be worth considering because, you know, we don't have very good treatments for post-traumatic stress syndrome. But, you know, one of the treatments for post-traumatic stress syndrome that really should be considered is high-dose fish oil. First of all, you know, you send these troops into combat under stressful circumstances, and you give them basically K rations, you know, bad food, bad quality, or the food that they use in some of these on these military bases is basically catered food from fast food places. They win the contracts, and so, you know, you get food that's kind of like comfort food for you, you know, home-style burgers and fries, and that makes you feel good when you're stationed in some godforsaken place like Afghanistan. But you eat that stuff, and you become depleted in essential fatty acids while you're under stress, and this could set the stage for brain alterations that cause memories to be basically reinforced in the brain. And so fish oil has actually been shown to be helpful for post-traumatic stress syndrome. And I really hope that they continue. They've investigated military trials where they try to provide fish oil to soldiers. Also helpful in reducing the long-term effects of head trauma. you know, with IEDs and injuries that are very common. Fish oil seems to reduce the long-term effects of these types of injuries. So that might be something that I can certainly vouch for. EMDR? Yeah, maybe. That could be helpful. Check it out on the internet. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Stay tuned, because for most of you, there's another hour of Intelligent Medicine. We've got lots to talk about. 888-302-3684.